Oh, I know. I'll turn him into a flea, a harmless little flea. And then I'll put that flea in a box, and then I'll put that box inside of another box, and then I'll mail that box to Main Street UCI, the podcast that talks about all things Disney, from the parks to movies, collectibles, and a whole lot more. I'm Jennifer.
I'm Zen.
And I'm David.
Today we're choosing the fates of three more Disney attractions with Keep, Correct, or Kill. Then we've got a mouth-watering Who's Its and What's Its of the Week. And after that, grab your super suit and see if you can guess the answers to some Pixar trivia questions before Zen and David. Stay tuned, we'll be back before you can say, pull the lever, crunk!
Main Street UCI is sponsored by the University of California, Irvine, Division of Continuing Education, a U.S. News Top 10 public university. Do you have an educational goal? At UCI DCE, we're here to help. With over 60 professional certificate programs, we've helped over 250,000 students meet their career goals, and we can help you meet yours too. You can find us at ce.uci.edu. Dream big, take risks, be amazing.
We've got three more Disneyland attractions on the chopping block with another round of Keep, Correct, or Kill, where we decide if an attraction is great as is and should be kept, needs a couple adjustments and could be corrected, or kill it, because there's just too much that would need to be done to turn it into a star attraction. First up today is the Disneyland Railroad.
Ooh.
I mean, that's a classic one.
That is a classic
that
one.
That is a do not touch it.
Oh. Well, they have touched it, though.
They have. That's
they
true.
Have recently.
Yes. Okay, so for this one, my only real qualm is I really miss some of the old narration.
That
We talked about this once.
I think
have
so,
we?
Probably.
A little bit in a previous episode.
I don't remember this.
And so before it's trivia, it's like, who was the narrator?
Huh. Oh,
remember?
Okay.
What else is he known for?
Oh, God, I don't know. I've forgotten.
I forget how the commercial goes, but Tony the Tiger.
Third.
Oh,
that's the line.
Wow.
The most like famous line ever. But...
So the same guy who did the narration of the railroad was the same voice actor who did Tony the Tiger.
I had no idea.
Are you familiar with that, right?
I'm familiar with Tony the Tiger, yes. Yeah. So recently they redid the narration.
Mm-hmm.
And recently they expanded the railroad out to behind the rivers of America. I can't remember if they did this because they wanted to like make route. They wanted it to drive by Star Wars Land, apparently.
Yeah, it had to kind of... because they had to readjust the rivers of America, then they had to readjust
the railroad.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And they added a little bit more fancy animatics to the Land Before Time and the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know.
So...
Oh, are you going first?
I guess I'll go first.
Okay.
That was kind of like a sliding into my opinion.
Yeah, I think it is sliding into my opinion because the problem that I have with the railroad is that it is so slow.
But it's
wait.
Nice.
So wait. You know, you went into exposition, but I didn't hear what is it, a keep, correct, or kill?
That's what I'm trying to decide.
Oh, you haven't decided.
I'm between a correct and a kill. Or sorry, a keep and a kill. I'm
okay.
On two extreme ends.
Wow.
Because on one end here, if it's harmless and people like it, then my general attitude is who am I to take that away from someone, especially people that just really, really like the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that it's a classic thing that people really, really like. On the other hand, it's not something that I'm ever inclined to jump on because, firstly, it's not as cool as the monorail.
Mm, true.
The monorail is really cool, and the route that it takes and the bird's eye view that you get. I think the monorail is much cooler than the Disneyland Railroad. And the second thing is that because it is so slow, I'm never inclined to take it because if I'm in somewhere like New Orleans Square and I'm trying to get to Tomorrowland, it's much easier to just walk over to Tomorrowland, and there's not enough being offered by the train to make me want to get on it.
Hmm.
So
See, I'm kind of the opposite.
Okay.
But for are you leaning more towards...
Yeah, I would lean more... You know what? I'm leaning more towards keep it because I know that I like walking more than the average person.
Hmm. Okay.
Just keep it. I'll never use it, but you can go ahead and keep it.
See, for me, I use it a lot for to get from one side of the park to the other. It doesn't allow you to get from one place to another very fast.
Right.
But at the same time, like, you know, if you want to sit on your phone and honestly, I kind of sit on my phone and play Pokemon as I'm going around.
Like, oh, of course.
There's another stop. No, I'm not the driver present.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, you know what? I don't know if it even goes fast enough.
I don't think it does.
I'm pretty sure I've never run into that problem.
No, so. It doesn't go fast enough.
But yeah, I mean, to me, like, it's kind of harmless, so I do kind of lean towards the keep as well. But I also kind of lean towards correct because there are some lines that I really, really miss from the early narration. Like the, uh-oh, do you hear that? Like, I love that line. I don't know. Like, I kind of miss that.
The kind of lines.
One of our podcasts. Yeah.
That's how much I love that line. So, but at the same time, I do kind of like the changes that they've already made. Like, you know, adding in that animation to the diorama area or the bridge over the water is stunning. I love that.
Yeah. Hey, that's stunning. Mm-hmm. Bringing it back to the diorama area, though. Yeah, it's a part of my childhood, and I'll never be able to take it that way. It just feels dated nowadays.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that.
That was created when Disney was still alive. Yeah. So that was like, I don't know, like 60s.
Yeah.
Late 50s?
Anyway, so which one are you leaning more towards?
It's so hard. Okay, and the other part of it too is I think there's some sections of the route that are a bit more interesting than others. So okay. I think I'm going to go with correct, and I would say even more so than adding back in that line of dialogue, I would say making all of the legs of the journey as equally interesting, because you've got one leg that has the cool diorama thing, you've got the other leg that has the you know, the Rivers of America part, but then the others are kind of just like, oh, okay, cool, we're going from Toontown to Tomorrowland. Woo!
Yeah. Some parts of it are just not very eventful.
Yeah. In fact, the Tomorrowland section, it's kind of like, oh, look at this ancient stuff. Zen is taking a picture.
Selfieing. I'm doing a selfie while we do this. We've never actually
done that before. This feels weird. All right. Anyway, since Zen is being disruptive, let's have him talk about it.
I'm acting like someone at Disneyland. That's
This is true. All right. So Zen,
put this up on our Instagram, guys.
What do you think of the Disneyland Railroad?
Wait. But I didn't. What was it? A correct or is it a kill?
I'm gonna say correct.
Okay.
And then if you have a correct. I think when we decided if you're going to do a correct, you had to give a course of action.
Yeah, so I'm saying add in some more interesting elements to the other legs.
Yeah,
okay.
So you were too busy taking selfies.
Yeah,
Zen. Deep inside, Emma.
Now you need to provide your own opinion.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Now you're on the hot seat.
No more letting us think for you.
Yeah.
One of the things is, when you hear me say kill on occasion,
yeah,
lots of the times kill is because there are two things. I think that the ride is below par.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the second thing is the space can be used in another manner that would be better. So that's a kill.
Economy of space.
No. This is definitely not a kill.
Okay.
Because, like, how would you repurpose a piece of property like that?
Yeah. It's kind of an awkward footprint.
It spans across so much of the park that it's hard to kill it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So by far, there's no killing. There's not even an inkling of a thought of killing this because I think this is the best use of the space. It doesn't actually... You know, it doesn't impede on anything. So then the question is it a keep or is it a correct? I like it. The same thing I think what Jennifer said is, like, I like using it as transportation. If I don't need to get from the back end of the park near Toontown all the way to the front in a quick manner and I don't want to walk it, heck, the train, if the train's coming up on the station, that's a fun, you know, it's almost like taking one more ride before you leave the park or something like that. So it's just, it's a nice way. And also, even though I like the monorail as much as you do, and I always talk about these vista views, and this doesn't have a vista view, but because you're not enclosed, it's very immediate. It has a very immediate feeling because you can reach out and touch the flowers and go through. And touch everything and see people, you know, I don't know. It's the craziest thing when I'm on the train, I am compelled to wave at random people as we're going through the park. And it's just a lot, it's like, hey, check out this guy. Wave. And then it's like, hey, you wave back. You know, it's like, okay, hey kid, wave. You know, I'll wave. It's like, no, I'm waving at you. Hi. And then they'll wave back at you. So
who's that crazy old man?
No, no, I just think it's fun. You know, when you're especially like if you're passing through a small world.
Yeah.
And so it's
the Hungry Bear.
Sooner or later, Zen is going to become a Disneyland icon. Yeah. Oh, look, it's the waving man. Yeah. Wave to the waving man, no, kids.
Actually, watch the train go by. There's people waving on the train all the time. Yeah, I mean, love it. I think need to make it more a participation sport, you know, when you're So I like the ride. I don't think we should kill it. Is it correct?
Again, what could you even do to correct it?
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, I just kind of enjoy the ride. You know, it's about the journey, not the destination.
But what if the journey sucks? You know, at some points. At other points, it's very entertaining. But
I mean, I have a thing, like you say, is like, can we correct it and make it more interesting, maybe?
I think you could.
And I think you could. I couldn't tell you what. The other thing, but I will say, it is a dark ride at night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay.
So, I mean, something that could be, if you're going to, and I'm not giving a solution here, but something that maybe there should be things that are lit up.
That'd be
like
cool.
Like dioramas that are lit up. Because when you're in that thing at night, there's good chunks of it. It's just like, okay, I'm on the train.
We're in the dark.
Yeah, we're in the dark. I can smell the train. I hear the train.
Whatever. Yeah.
And it's something that some kind of nighttime dioramas that would take advantage of the nighttime would be kind of fun.
Plus the stuff that you could only see when you're on the train.
Yeah.
That'd be really neat, you know?
Maybe Western themed? What was Western themed or?
Well, that area has a lot going on already because that's the part where you're going from New Orleans Square to Toontown Station. So you've already got kind of a lot of cool things to look at there now that they've updated it. But say like the areas that are kind of bookending Tomorrowland are kind of the ones that need a little more stuff, I think.
Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to go by the Back in Time franchise.
Yes.
And we're going to turn it into Dr. Emmett Brown's train.
That'd be interesting.
In the third film.
Okay. It is called Back to the Future.
I'm sorry, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
They have a train. Yeah.
No, they do.
It doesn't actually move. Like, you can only stand next to it, but it's still cool
Back to the
see.
Future. I'm just kidding.
So I guess it could
be correct by making it a little bit more interesting and then do something so we can see it at night.
So we have a couple of corrects and a keep then.
Yeah.
All right.
And then I'll give you one more thing. It's like if they don't change it, I'm pretty happy with it too.
Yeah.
So
all right.
Did you guys ever get to see when while they were working on the Rivers of America, they actually the train was closed, but you could actually go to the New Orleans
train station.
Yeah.
Yeah, walk on both
sides.
That
was so cool.
Huh.
Let you like blow your whistle and
just
it was
the
awesome.
Fact that you could walk to the other side for the, you know, like I've been looking at the other side now for 20 years and for the first time being able to walk on the other side of the station, which is kind of like, wow, this is like the Forbidden Land.
Yeah, exactly. I took so many pictures. I was like, oh my gosh, I will never see this again. It's kind of sad.
Well, all right then.
All right. So Disneyland Railroad is safe.
For now.
For now.
But only
we're going to come back and do this again.
Now.
actually, we changed our mind. It's getting no. All right, our second one is a long title. I didn't realize the title of this was so long. The Disneyland Story, presenting Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. So, or as we know it, Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, or just Mr. Lincoln.
I haven't made up my mind on this one yet, so somebody else go first, because I want to hear somebody else's.
This one's hard.
Yeah, go for it, Zen.
It's iconic.
Mm-hmm.
And because Disney was one of the first people who did so much animatronics.
Yeah.
But it's lame-o. I mean, I love what they're trying to do. I love the thought. I love, I bring my daughter in there. Love the fact that he, trying to learn a little bit about history. But man, is it. I mean, it's not even about the doll. It's just like you see Lincoln just stand straight up out of the seat. It's like it just doesn't, maybe 60 years or 50 years ago, that was really impressive. Now it just looks really bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can understand that.
They updated it when? It's been a little while since it got updated,
okay.
I think.
And so here's my correct. Just put real actors in there. I think if they just
That'd be interesting, but it also would be really difficult.
Yeah.
Because he's tall and gaunt and just very specific way of talking.
Hey,
and
whoever's in that Goofy suit. the thing
maybe.
Is that I think it could, just to make it a live show, and just have a few actors in there and then maybe someone walk by, pass a paper. Just to make it a live show would make a huge difference. And it also could be, they don't even need to have the actor who's on stage actually orate. Like, it could be over a recording so that the music's all lined up. They just does a Britney Spears and lip syncs to make it more consistent of a experience. But I mean, it's just like at the Aladdin show. Make it live action.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
You prefer the robotics?
I don't think I even prefer the robotics.
Oh, really?
Seriously, I don't think. Okay, so wait, you would be a correct on this one?
Yeah, I'm saying corrected by
just putting actors in there.
Otherwise, we're going to turn it into like Star Tours and everyone gets out. What's our alternative? Yeah. Put 3D glasses
on. I don't know. Here, my thought is a kill. Here's the thing. And we recognize here on this podcast that for as much as we love Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure, for some of us, it's a little bit mishmash right now. As Disneyland and Disney California Adventure are sort of entering this new age, there is a little bit, I think, of growing pains when these parks are sort of trying to figure out what they want to be for the next 10, 20, maybe even 30 years. So as we recognize that, just know how out of place Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln is to me when I say it doesn't fit in Disneyland with anything else at all, in my opinion. I don't think it fits.
I'm not going to necessarily fight you on that either.
Okay.
I agree. I
think it's more of like a, you've got Main Street.
I support you in your killing of it.
Okay, so here's my problem with the actor bit. And I don't know how big a problem this would be, but in addition to the task of finding actors that look like our former presidents, there's going to be a lot of work put into anything from prosthetics to makeup, hair and wigs, a lot
any
of work.
Any more than the Aladdin show at
California
Adventure?
Well, he's got, like, he had a
very
distinctive
mole. What you're going to have to do is find actors as opposed to Aladdin.
By the way, David, you're tall.
I am tall. I don't look like Abraham Lincoln.
It's okay. We'll just put a little makeup on
you.
Hey, once you have a stovepipe hat on there, dude, you're killing yourself off from another job.
I'm almost done here, I promise. What I'm saying is that Aladdin can look like whatever the actor is playing him looks like, so long as he is vaguely Middle Eastern, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? He doesn't have to...
He's sometimes Asian.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure...
Regardless of that, you're going to have to find actors that are somewhat similar in look to these presidents. And then here's my problem, is that you are putting yourself at risk of coming under fire for how you may portray some of our more controversial presidents in history. Andrew Johnson comes to mind. Richard Nixon comes to mind. You might make people mad with the way that you put them on stage. Just something as simple as a hair or a prosthetic choice or a choice made by the actor could be perceived as offensive by any number of people. I think that it's worth killing. I'm done.
I don't know. Okay, so...
No, I don't know.
It is kind of strange to have someone from the 1800s in early 1900s America, but I think...
Have you seen
Well, because what? Lincoln
was 19th century. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I confused. 1800s. I'm confused. Yeah. You go.
So, like, I can see that. It's like, oh, you should already be dead. Why are you in the future? But at the same time, I can appreciate why Disney did that. You know, it's like you've got Main Street USA, which is your, you know, just...
Isn't it modeled after, like...
Marceline, Missouri.
Yeah.
It's very, like, a romanticized version of it.
Of,
you know, so it's like...
Yeah, the things, picket fences. And...
Yeah, so it's like the things that meant the most to Disney in his youth kind of ended up there. So I can understand why that would be there. And I know, like, he absolutely loved Lincoln, and I think most people kind of do, you know, like he's at least one of the presidents that most people can get behind or agree with.
Yeah.
So my thought is, I don't know, I'm kind of torn between a keep and a correct, but I don't really know what a correct would be. I know that I don't personally like to go watch it, even though I really like Lincoln. Lincoln's like my favorite president, but
he's a lot of people's favorite.
He's a lot of people's favorite.
He's pretty universally popular.
But at the same time, that the whole show, like, it's very, very depressing. There's one song in there about, you know, two brothers, and one was on one side and the other was on the other side, and one came home and one didn't. And it's just, it is so depressing that...
Do you know what? I think it would be better served as a movie.
That's not a bad idea.
Maybe, I kind of like the audio animatronic myself.
Yeah.
It's just like, I think it's distracting from the story. I mean, when I watch that, I guess what it is like, you know, if you're trying to get past the fact that we can't do actors, just go get a bunch of real actors, do it once, show a film, maybe 3D, update it every 4 years,
it's
4 to 8 years.
Not that exciting, though, to watch a movie. Or
it's
at least
not that
in
exciting
my
to watch the animatronics.
Yeah, I agree here.
You know, for Lincoln's sake, I'm going to say keep. Just because I think there is something really cool to see a 3D version of him.
Okay, I think Lincoln's memory is not going to die if this ride dies. I'm saying kill.
Okay, so we got two kills.
I'll do a correct by, like, making a movie.
Making a movie?
All right. I can accept that.
So, split decision.
Yeah, very split decision.
No one knows what will happen to Lincoln.
Yeah.
This will be the second time he could potentially be killed off.
That's terrible. Oh,
killed
no,
off,
that's
killed
terrible.
Off by an actor.
Oh!
Because...
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap.
Oh, my God.
A stupid Main Street UCI actor, though.
He went so mad.
Yeah, anyway.
On a strange note, you know, just completely, I was just in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and I was not aware that the theater that Abraham Lincoln was...
The Ford Theater.
Is still an active
theater.
I wasn't aware of that.
Which is kind of scary. So
it is.
It's kind of weird.
You know, just think, if we make it a film, maybe we can get Daniel Day-Lewis to re-portray him, and then...
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Okay, anyway. Shall we move on to our final one?
Our last one, which is going to be kind of anticlimactic after that, is Donald's Boat, which is in Toontown, which is I'm pretty sure I've walked through this maybe twice in my life.
David, yeah. Have you seen it?
Once, twice?
Maybe once.
I don't even remember what's inside of it, honestly.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay, I'm gonna vote on this. Uh-huh. I'm gonna vote, and it's a keep. Uh-huh. And I tell you what, nothing wears out a 5-year-old than as well as a boat that's 2 floors that she can run around haphazardly mm-hmm. for the next 20 minutes. And the best thing is there's a bunch of benches for parents to sit down and watch those little monkeys go wild.
So I imagine you feel exactly the same about the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail.
Kind of like that.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, they smell a little bit funny when you get home, but you just wash them and you put them into bed. So
parenting tips with Zen. Brought to you by Main Street UCI.
This is now a parenting podcast. I know.
No, but honestly, the thing is, I think this is very much is designed for children. Mm-hmm. When they see it, it's this whimsical cartoon boat that's out there. They don't want more of it. They just like running through up and down,
like
looking
simple...
through the windows and such like that. Mm-hmm. And of all things, Toontown is really designed for the younger children. It's a really cool playground if you're 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool playground if you're 7, or 8.
Yeah, I think, as long as you can still fit, right?
Yeah. And so it's a wonderful place for them to take out some energy and away from a ride and away from a line. It's okay by me.
All right. So you're going to keep it.
I'm going to keep it as is.
Okay.
Well, I know I absolutely cannot say kill, because my younger sister is the biggest fan of Donald Duck in the universe, and she would dismember me if I ever said kill. So for me, I think I would.
But does she like it? I mean, it's just a boat.
Anything Donald, she loves. Absolutely anything.
Zen, you're
Donald.
Going to two very different extremes right
now. No.
It's great for 5-year-olds. No, but it's a boat.
No, but I mean, it's just like she's defending it because her sister likes Donald Duck, and I'm just like, it's as far as I don't know.
Zen, how dare you defame Donald Duck? Donald Duck taught me math in elementary school.
Yeah, that's really? Right. Donald in Math Magic Land.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
How do you...
Go check that out.
That was before
lit.
David.
It was lit.
Me.
Yeah,
might
I still watched
you
it.
Too, actually.
No. What is it called?
No. Donald Duck in Math Magic Land.
Yeah.
I precede computers.
Yeah. I'm not sure when it came out. It's fairly...
No.
Donald Duck in what was
in
it?
In Math Magic Land.
Yeah. See, okay. I think I'm going to say... correct, and maybe just...
What's your correction?
Jazz it up a little bit. It's been, since 1990-something or other. So, maybe add in...
Oh, it is. That's 1959. I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's pretty old, so... But yeah, I would add maybe some little, fun, hidden animation things, kind of like what Minnie Mouse's house has, where, you press a button and some stuff happens... I don't think anything like that happens in Donald's boat.
I think they have a periscope.
Do they need that, though?
You know what? You want to make me happy? Put a bunch of treadmills on it.
That'd be a lawsuit.
Because there is no quicker way to child injury than treadmills.
Like a bunch of
in
hamster
Donald's
wheels
boat.
Yeah. Get her God. Energy out.
No, just a bunch of hamster balls. Put a bunch of hamster, big... hamster balls in Donald's boat and just let the kids crash around in it.
I like it.
Yeah. No, I'm, you know what? It doesn't need any extra bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm thinking from an economy standpoint from Disney's thing, what's going to make them more money is investing dollars into Galaxy's Edge, into Tomorrowland, into even Adventureland, not Toontown, and especially not Donald's boat.
Well, they haven't invested anything into Toontown recently.
No, they have not.
Since they opened it, it's pretty much been static. Nothing's left
if anything,
and nothing's come in.
Well, the trolley
turned
is kind
off.
Of left. Yeah, turned off. Poor trolleys.
That trolley was so much fun, but it seemed like a...
All right, I'll change mine to keep two. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah. It's a playground.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be enough cool to correct.
There? Yeah, but yeah, it's a playground. But kids love it.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind it if they, like, as long as it was something Donald themed, like maybe have Donald's house instead of his boat.
Ooh, that might be cool.
But does he live on the, no, he no. has a
or
house.
Or Mickey's house.
Donald has a house?
No, no. I don't know about Donald's house, but what about like Mickey's house? Mickey has a house.
Yeah.
Mickey's Friendship Club or whatever it was.
Oh.
That was a lit house.
Yeah. His clubhouse?
Yeah, Mickey's clubhouse. That's right.
Well, I mean, having a consistent Donald Duck meet and greet there would be something.
That would be cool.
There you go.
Oh, man. My sister would be all over that.
So.
All right.
Like, okay, time to go. Is it? Visit my boyfriend.
All right, and
all right. So Donald's boat is also safe.
Okay, cool.
So
I think not everything is safe for me this round, but most things are safe.
Most things were safe, so that's good.
Yeah, there you go.
Good job, Disneyland.
All right.
Before we head to the break, it's time for our Who's Its and What's Its of the week. And this week we are taking a look at AllEars.net and their incredible list of Disney World recipes that just goes on and on. Forever.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
that's crazy.
It just keeps going.
I think we've shared something, just a plug here. I think we've shared something similar on our Facebook group. There was some cool article that I found on the net that mm-hmm. was just five like Disney park recipes.
Yeah.
I think they even had a recipe for a Monte Cristo.
Ooh,
like
nice.
The one that they sell at the plaza or whatever it is.
Yes. That's awesome. So, well, if you want to see this massive list, search for All Ears Recipes or AllEars.net Recipes, any combination of that, and it should be one of the first results that you get. And not only does it have a whole bunch of recipes from the parks, but there's also a section for the Food and Wine Festival. So you get the amazing things that they come up with. Like there's one for alfajores, which are Peruvian cookies that are so, so good. Probably not very good for you, but really, really good.
Since when is anything in the Disney park good for you?
That's true.
Really?
They have one for the apple crisp cake from Liberty Tree Tavern.
Oh, my gosh.
And just tons and tons of stuff. There's also some from the Disney Cruise Line. So, yeah, if you're hungry.
How is it that so many of these podcasts just, when we record, they just make me hungry?
I know. How does this happen?
I don't know. Maybe it's the time we record.
Probably.
We got to take care of this. We got to make sure this changes.
We should do this after lunch, and then this way we're good.
Yeah, we won't have a temptation to talk about so much food.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good plan. Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
We should.
I have no problem with that. Just saying.
Oh.
All right.
We'll be right back after a snack.
Nice segue.
Yeah.
They're called goals for a reason. There's something to strive for. They require attention, and they need sweat and hard work to achieve. Do you have a career goal? At UCI Division of Continuing Education, we're here to help. With over 60 certificate programs available, we've helped over 250,000 students reach their goals, and we can help you reach yours too. Start today at ce.uci.edu. That's ce.uci.edu.
Now it's trivia time. This week we're testing Zen and David on their knowledge of Pixar's films.
Oh.
Something different.
This I'm going to kick your ass.
Finally, AD.
What? No, not quite. Not quite.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
They're a little
mostly. I don't want to project my birthday over podcasts, but like 86 and 91 are still BD.
Hmm.
91
is... What was the first Pixar film?
I guess we
should... Perhaps we will find out.
Let's do it.
Okay.
It was in the 90s, I think. It was... Toy Story was the first one. It was in the 90s, I think.
I think they had shorts before that, but yeah.
Yeah, but not under the Disney label.
Oh, Disney label. There was a bunch of them that weren't under the Disney label. we're not under the Disney
I guess so. Anyways.
I think you guys sound way more confident about this one than you ever do for the Disneyland one. So
I'm very guessing. Anyways,
this is
go
promising.
Ahead.
Let's do it.
Okay, question number one. When Pixar signed a contract with Disney back in 1991, how many films did they agree to make?
Not many. They didn't agree to make many of them. I think, let's see, one, two. I'm going to guess five.
Okay.
I think the classic, maybe, oh, my, yeah, I'm going to guess five.
All right.
I think, when they signed the one in 1991.
I think
you think so?
More than that.
Because I'm thinking they agreed to make Toy Story, Bugs Life, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, and then Incredibles. And then after that, there was...
Don't forget, there's... Ones. I think there's... Okay, I'm just going to go six because I think there's more, but Ants was in there? I mean,
Ants,
that's Bugs, no, I'm sorry, Bugs Life.
I already said Bugs Life.
Wait, Bugs Life?
I'm very familiar with Pixar's filmography.
Toy Story 2 was in there, possibly?
That one was actually originally intended to be a straight-to-DVD sequel.
All right, let's just go for it. What do you want, David?
David's closer! Oh, it was actually three.
Ooh!
So
oh,
very, very close. So,
so they agreed, what? They agreed to make Toy Story and Bug's Life and...
I'm guessing, I didn't actually find the individual films, but... That would sound about right, because those were the first ones, right?
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and maybe Toy Story 2. I don't know.
Yay!
So David's in the lead, 500 points. All right, question number two. When
Toy Story, Bug's Life, and Toy Story 2.
Okay, there we go.
And the first one came out in 1995. That's definitely
Toy Story.
So, yes, it is. It is a few years before David.
You're so young.
I know.
Okay, question
Random
number
trivia.
Two.
Random.
Currently, Joss Whedon was part of one of the screenplay writers of Toy Story.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Interesting.
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Question number two. Which Pixar character was originally going to be a ventriloquist dummy?
Ooh, I can venture a guess to this one as well.
All right.
My guess is just because of how...
Woody. Woody.
You think so?
I don't know.
Sensing Woody.
I think it was Stinky Pete the Prospector.
Oh.
Ooh, nice.
I think. Because that would just make so much sense.
All right.
Just in the way that
I think
he's...
Yeah, I buy it.
Okay. That's my random guess.
All right. Zen actually got it. It was Woody.
Really?
Woody was originally going to be a ventriloquist dummy, and then
that's
I guess
weird.
Michael Eisner was like, that's kind of creepy. Let's not do that. So he became a pull-string cowboy toy, which is
There's a
much
snake
better.
In my boot.
Much, much better.
Can you just imagine? Andy's asleep at
right?
home. All is peaceful. Then from then from his shelf, the ventriloquist dummy begins to speak. There's a snake in my boot.
Yeah.
Andy.
Play with me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not go too far down that rabbit hole.
500.
I know. This
is 500, 500.
This is turning out to be a little creepy this episode.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three. Which Pixar movie was the first to be rated PG instead of G?
Okay. Let's go through their filmography and see what we can see. Because they started with Toy Story.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was Bug's Life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a list. Both of them. Am I allowed to pull up the...
No. Mm. Close your stupid
it might
list.
Not,
okay, okay.
It
gonna...
might show... I don't
yeah,
know
I'm not
if it
look
would show
the
it.
List.
No, I know Pixar's filmography. So it's Toy Story, then Bug's Life, then Toy Story 2, then Monsters, Inc., then Finding Nemo, then Incredibles. I would venture to guess that it was either Finding Nemo or Incredibles.
Okay.
Based on the subject matter, my bet is on the Incredibles.
All right.
That was the first one to be rated PG.
Okay. So we got the Incredibles. What do you think, Zen? Zen is pondering.
That early, huh?
Yeah. Just because, okay, think about it this way. The Incredibles, there's mock intense violence, action. Intense action. In the opening, one of the opening scenes, there's a bank robber with bombs and a guy who tries to jump off a building by committing suicide.
That's true.
That doesn't sound like the kind of thing that they would open up to general audiences based on the kind of ratings the MPAA has given. Yeah.
I'm
going to
vote Wally. It's just creepy. Lots of dead people.
No,
is there dead people? So. I haven't seen
No,
Wally
not
yet.
Dead people, but I mean...
No, I think
well,
it's
in the future.
The
planet is dead.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
And we've left for space to.
Oh, so people are alive, but
yeah,
elsewhere.
We're all fat and living in like hovercraft.
Everyone was dead. Okay.
Incredibles is my guess.
Incredibles and Wall-E, right?
Sure.
Okay. Ding 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 ding!
Yay!
We got it. Incredibles.
1,500 to 500.
Yay! I told you I was gonna kick your ass.
Boy, maybe we'll have to do some more Pixar ones just to even it out a little
bit.
Oh,
yeah.
Question number four. Who bought Pixar from Lucasfilm in 1986?
I just did a post on this on Facebook. So I know the answer to this.
Okay.
I know the answer to this.
All right, then on the count three. One, two, three.
Steve Jobs.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding. You both get the points.
1,500 to 1,000.
Which I actually only learned this today, so I had no clue.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it makes sense, but it's just kind of like,
interesting.
Oh.
Well, it makes sense?
I mean, the guy had a hand in everything, basically, right?
Steve Jobs?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't he?
He had Next Computer. He had Apple Computer. No, Steve Wozniak was all over the place.
Hmm.
But Steve Jobs, actually, anyways.
You know, this is not related to Disney at all, but you know who had a helping hand in the formation of DreamWorks?
Who?
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can see it. Okay.
Steven Spielberg and what's his name? There was another guy from Disney whose name I'm forgetting. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Oh. Well, their films were called like S. There was like a acronym, like three letter, like Geffen, Spielberg, and Katzenberg.
Oh.
Or
GSK or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
There was a, yeah.
I've
and
seen
it was,
that before.
And it was the, that's why there was like the three letter, I can't remember. I thought it was Katzenberg, Geffen, and Spielberg.
Hmm.
Off the top of my head.
It's definitely, now that I say it's not GSK, because that stands for GlaxoSmithKline.
Oh, that's, that's
anyways.
I mean. I'm like, I've seen those letters together before.
Okay, continuing random trivia.
All right.
David, hang on.
You could tie this one, Zen,
okay, wait,
if you got it right.
More random trivia.
Yes,
okay.
So the, when Steve Jobs sold Pixar to Walt Disney Studios, he became the largest shareholder of Disney.
Really?
He owns something crazy, like up to like 10%. Even the relatives and the heirs, you know, no one owned that much. It's
wow.
like that's how, you know,
that's impressive.
You could have a lightning jack in every ride and.
Anyways.
No.
All right. Last question.
Last question.
Zen looking to tie.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right.
You'll find A113 in every Pixar movie. What is this in reference to?
Oh,
I know this.
No.
Oh, no.
I know this.
I don't.
You don't? Not even a guess?
A113?
Yes. Some combination of that.
I have no idea.
If you look in most of the Pixar films, there's always like, there's a license plate number with a number on there, or like, you see a building go by and the number's on there. It's a famous Easter egg for Pixar.
No idea.
Nothing? All right.
Nothing. Zen, what do you got?
It Zen?
It's the classroom number of where, I don't know, some of the founders or the original people who worked at Pixar took classes at, I forget, the California
Arts
Academy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cal Arts. It was a classroom number and
ding ding ding. Yeah. So it was the classroom where I believe who's it? John Lasseter.
I was going to say John
Tim
Lasseter.
Tim Burton
John.
And Brad Bird.
Wow.
All were in
had
the
that
same
classroom.
Yeah.
Wow. So John Lasseter, one of the founders of Pixar, Tim Burton. What does Tim Burton have to do with Pixar? Because
like,
Brad Bird is the, one of their directors.
Well, no, it's just one of the, I mean, it's just like, well, he falls with, it's just a classroom that just happened. So many creative people who came out of that classroom.
It was like the graphic design and animation or something like that. So, yeah.
So you see that number everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And that means...
It means we're tied.
Oh, no.
Congratulations. That's what I get for being so braggadocious.
Yes. But that's okay. Now I know we should be doing some more Pixar ones.
We should.
This way.
This is way more exciting.
Yeah.
I actually own a... I was such a big fan of Pixar. I actually own Pixar stock for a long time.
Seriously?
And then my Pixar stock converted into Disney stock. But before it did, I actually purchased. So I actually purchased one share of Pixar stock, and I got the original certificate. And the coolest thing about the certificate is on the certificate, it actually has like Buzz Lightyear and Woody and a couple of the characters on the actual stock certificate.
Wow.
And almost no companies make stock certificates. So probably the stock certificate is worth more than the actual stock that it converted into.
Wow.
So
what happens if someone ever like buys Pixar back from Disney? Would you have to get, like, would they be able to separate it out? Or
you know,
too bad you're Disney now.
Officially, I forfeited my Disney stock.
Oh.
But I actually own the physical paper.
Oh.
Hmm.
So, I mean, it's this weird thing. Because, anyways. Long story, but it's just, if you look online, you can see them online. I don't know if they're worth anything, but it was just really cool to have. Mm. So
maybe if it had Superstar Limo.
Oh, now that, geez, I had to get two.
Yeah.
Buying stock in Disney's California Adventure.
Yes.
Buy it now, because in a few years,
who knows?
Not going to be Disney California
Adventure.
It's going to
be Star Wars Land. They're just going to tear it all down.
They'll be Star Wars Land Part 2.
My prediction is it'll be a Pixar Adventure.
Mm.
That'd be interesting.
I like that.
As long as they don't get rid of Little Mermaid Ride, move
David's
it over to Disneyland.
Keep Correct or Kill is California Adventure. Keep Correct or Kill.
Keep. Honestly. But let's not go down that rabbit hole right now because
that's all the time we have for this edition of Main Street UCI. If you enjoyed our show, we hope you'll give us 5 stars on iTunes or Google Play and help our podcast grow. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Main Street UCI, where you'll find photos of our adventures in the parks, interesting articles, and more. And we want to give a shout out to Florida Man on Florida Man for following us. Whew, say that 5 times fast.
Right.
Check out their podcast for some crazy tales from Florida. And you can catch up on our previous episodes by visiting sites.ce.uci.edu/mainstreetuci or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the Florida men are going to give us a run for our money because now they're making Florida out to be the most magical and happiest place on earth. I think
kind of